And now we're back to it. Revelation chapter 2. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Here in the book of Revelation, we're going to get into some messages about the local church. Well, that's what happens when you read right here in chapter 2. He deals with seven churches. And don't forget, churches are made up of individuals. He gives a message to seven churches. We're not going to get into all the messages but one. But understand this, that the church is made up of the assembly of people. The church is a group of organized, baptized believers who have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. We are individuals. That's why he gives a message to the church, but he always ends it dealing with this. You see this over and over in Revelation 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear. He that hath an ear. Because it's the individuals that make up the church. Now, here's something interesting. We're going to look at this church this morning. I'm going to preach on this message. You've left your first love. Now, we're living in a church society that's left the first love. Honeymoon love. Amen. You know what it's like when you first got married. Everything's rosy. Everything's perfect. Open the car door. Now you try to slam it on her. Amen. You know how it is. You look so pretty today, and you know, now you get up fighting like cats and dogs. You lose the love. Your love grows deeper. I understand that. I mean, as you mature, your love grows deeper, and you know, nothing's going to separate you. But you sometimes, if you're not careful, lose the honey. You leave your honeymoon love. And in the local church, here is a church in Ephesus that was leaving that love. Now you must understand something. When we look on the outside of a church, it might look like a great church. It might have programs. It might have beautiful vestibule and chandelier or carpet, whatever. It might be a good looking building on the outside. It might seem like it's got everything organized, good singing, good music, everything step by step. But the outside may not be what really is going on. It may be the problem in the inside. This church we're going to look at right here kind of sums up with what's going on with a lot of our churches this morning. And I want to help you and help God's people that we, as individuals, make sure we do not leave the first love. And if you have left it, then I've got a message for you. Amen? Don't leave the first love. Notice, the Bible says, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. And that's speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus walks in the midst of every church. These seven stars are representing the churches. And guess who's in the midst of every church? Jesus Christ. Hey, a human might look out on the outside of a church and say, that church looks real good. But he that walks in the midst, he knows just where that church really is. The Bible says in verse 2, Jesus says, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. What a great picture of a church. I mean, the church of Ephesus was strong. I mean, look at it. He said, I know thy works. This church was a serving church. I know thy works. I mean, look, the church at Ephesus, they had programs. They were a serving church. They were a busy church. You walked in and you looked at the calendar. It wasn't blank. It was filled. How's everybody doing? I mean, it was a serving church. They had everything. I mean, mastermen on Monday and terrific Tuesday, coffee shop time, whatever, you know. They had everything going on. They had all the studies. They had all the extracurricular. They had great children's program. Hey, they were a church that was known for the works. Known for the works. And look what else it says. It says, I know thy works and thy labor. Labor has more to do with toil. More has to do when you labor. I mean, you're really working. You're sweating at the brow. So it's not just a serving, but it's dealing with a sacrifice. This church, they gave a sacrifice to serve God. I mean, this church was known as a church that, I mean, they put it to. I mean, they worked hard. They labored. They gave up special time during the week.
They had extra soul winning programs. They worked hard. That's great marks of a church. Church that works, a church that labors. Hey, it's not easy to pray. It takes sacrifice to pray. It takes sacrifice to meet God and get alone with God in the prayer closet. It takes sacrifice to come Sunday night. It takes sacrifice to be here on Wednesday night prayer meeting and pray with God's people. Hey, they were known. This church, if you looked, you said, boy, look at the makeup of this church. If there's any church we ought to follow, it's that one in Ephesus. I mean, they're working at it. They're serving. And they're sacrificing. But not only that, look what else they did. The marks of this church. They were a steadfast church. The Bible says this, thy labor and thy patience. He said, I know your works, labor and patience. In order to be patient, the word patient doesn't refer to what we think of today. Like, man, get some patience, dude. That's not what it's referring to. It's dealing with having patience through trials. This was a steadfast church. I mean, hey, nothing was going to shake them from serving God. Nothing was going to get them sidetracked from serving God. The government could be in a mess, but Ephesus was going to keep on plugging away. The society could be all out of order, but they were going to stay in order. This was a steadfast church. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how we ought to be. Right? We ought to be a serving church. Hey, we ought to be a sacrificial church. And we ought to be a steadfast church. Not only that, but they were a separated church. Look what else it says. It shows their separation. And how thou, verse 2, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. This church set apart their lives from those that were troublemakers. They set their lives away from those that would shake things up in the church and cause problems. They were a separated church. It went on to say this, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Listen, this church was a doctrinal church. They were steadfast. They understood how to be separated. They didn't let false teachers come in. Well, can anybody really be saved? Yeah, anybody can really be saved. I mean, they pointed out the false teachers and the false prophets. They were a separated group. And look what else it says in verse number 6. This is pretty interesting. It says, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And they were a separated church. The Nicolaitan dealt with conquering. It's a word that dealt with overseeing. And see, you had these pastors that try to be dictators. Anybody with me? Shake your head, move around, do something. Hey, man, just don't yawn at me, okay? But you had these preachers, dictators, these we're clergymen. We're clergymen. Y'all are the little people. How are y'all doing? I'm so special, and you're nobody. And they recognized that they didn't want to have anything to do with that kind of dictator pastoral authority. This was a separated church that knew the truth of God. By the way, you know the difference between you and me? God gave me the gift. God gave you a different gift. We're all on the same page. Amen. Now there's order. God's made order. Let everything be done beastly in order. And a pastor has a pastor leadership. And the people follow the pastor as God leads him. He's the under shepherd under the great shepherd. Amen. The good shepherd. But look, you and me, we're the same. God, I didn't do anything special to get to be in this position. God gave the gift of God. And He gives it to everyone that's born again. We all got gifts. You got some I might not have. And you helped me out. Amen. And listen, getting back to this message, they understood they were a set apart, separated church. Think about it. What a good looking church. A serving church. A sacrificing church. A steadfast church. A separated church. But watch this. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Lord, explain this to me, because they look like a real good church on the outside. But Jesus says, yeah, but I'm in the x-ray business. I'm in the x-ray business. You know, it's more important, look right here, more important than what you do is why you do it. Let me say that one again. More important than what you do is why you do it. Hey, Husbands, let me help you out a little side commercial. Wives don't care if you're busy around the house serving. They care if you have the right motive of why you work for your and help your wife. Amen. And children, listen, children, parents like to know you got the right motive for why you clean your bed. Make your bed, clean your room. Jesus is more concerned, about working, listen right here, with Him than working for Him. Jesus, He's more concerned about working with Him than for Him. He's more concerned about why you do what you do than what you do. This church, they look so good, but here's the truth. Because they had left their love, they were losing the light, the influence, the power, the influence on a godless society. Ephesus with the goddess Diana, one of the wonders of the ancient world. This was a wicked, wicked place. And it needed a church that had the power and the light of the gospel to go into such an ungodly, heathen place and win them to Jesus. But they were losing the light because they were filled with program and not passion. They had labor but not love. And there's a difference than looking like you're doing something and on the inside you're empty and backslidden and cold. We got so many cold churches in America. I skate up and down, the aisles are so cold. Somebody bring in a bucket of milk, he'll turn to homemade ice cream before he gets to the pulpit. Cold, so dead, you know the old saying, so dead, if somebody had a heart attack, the ambulance would come, they'd take out two people before they got the right one. Dead churches. So dead, that little boy said, Mama, he looked at that plaque on the church wall and said, looked at all the medals, said, Mama, what's this plaque up here? She said, Honey, that's those that died in the service. He said, Which one, Mama? Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night? Amen. I mean, church is so cold, so dead, they've lost the power, they lost the fire, they lost the light. We got them everywhere. I've been to big churches that are so dead. I walked in, cold, dead as last week's supper, empty, a bunch of show but no power, a form of godliness, but dead. Let me tell you something, look right here. You lose the light when you leave your love. God's not going to put power on a church to change a godless society if that church is doing everything in mechanical form and not spiritually loving the Lord. There's reasons why children of a generation of a bunch of Christians have stopped going to church. There's a reason why fundamentalism is dying like she is in America, because there's been a lot of children that grew up in a home where mom and daddy was mechanical but no real love. And now they don't want that. They want to find somewhere that feels good. And church ought to feel good. I don't know about you, but I have a good time when I come. I even have a good time when I get preached on things I'm doing. I say, help me, Lord, I need that. Amen. Now listen, I have a real good time when I walk down the altar and get on my knees and ask God to help me and get back up in some victory land. Hey, it's a place where you do feel good. We're missing the light of God because we've left our love. We've left it. Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Strong words. Preacher, I thought repentance is for those drunkards. No, repentance is for those that have left their love. Yep, man. Preacher, I thought repentance is for the homemongers. No, repentance is also for those that left the love. That are doing everything out of mechanical form, but they left their devotion. They left their communion. They haven't tingled alone with God. They're not excited and passionate like they once were. You know, love is contagious. Love is exciting. Who wants to go to a church that's not exciting? Sounds like a funeral march, every song being played. Listen, churches that are dead are churches that have forgotten. They've left the reason why they're there. We're not here. Listen to me. I understand it's commanded of the Bible. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some. It's a command, yes. But you don't come here just out of duty. You better come out of here because Jesus is your Savior. And you got a reason to be here. He's been so good to me. I want to give Him everything. I don't serve Him because I'm a slave. I serve Him because I'm His son. Hallelujah. Serve Him because I'm a son of God. Not a slave of God. Serve Him because I love Him. Not because I got to. It's the love of Christ that constrains me. I'm doing what I do because I'm with Him. I love Him. I love Him. He's so good. He's wonderful. Oh, yes, the Bible knows how to say it. Thou shalt call His name. It says, wonderful. And that's my Savior. He's wonderful. Wonderful. It says, repent. And then it says this, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick. Stay with me. What's a candlestick? It's the light. Yesterday I was preaching to some children. Boy, we got into it, didn't we? I said, one, get your light, get your lighter. Don't tell your parents you're playing with lighters. Light your little candlestick. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hey, let it shine, let it shine. Shine all over Flagstaff. Won't let Satan put it out. I'm going to let it shine. Hide all that Satan put it out. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bush. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bush. I mean, this is the only way to sing it, amen? I'm going to let it shine. Oh, listen, you can want to let it shine all you want, but if you get to where doctrine is your life and not love, you get to where you come in here because you had to come in here, God's Son's going to come into this church and He will remove the candlestick, the light, which is the influence of the dark city. Oh, let me tell you, Ephesus needed this church so bad in a godless society where Diana was worshipped, and we live in Flagstaff where people need Jesus. We got to be the light. But people aren't going to come to church where the love is not there. The light's got to shine. People got to know something's different about this church. Let me give you some things and then I'm going to give you how to get back into love. But see, honeymoon love. That's love, not labor. Labor can never take the place of love. And that's what had happened. Their labor took the place of love. Well, brother, we've gotten so mature now in the Lord, we just don't need to say amen. Brother, I've dived deep into the doctrines of the Bible. Well, bless your heart. You better learn to cut it loose and say amen. One preacher said, we'll get to heaven and God will spend the first 100 years just removing happy bubbles that you wouldn't let go. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. You know that's right. Hey, we've gotten so cold. We've left the love. We've left the love. Why did you come this morning? Well, I just wanted to check off my duty list. This is something a whole lot higher than what you're making it. Something a whole lot sweeter than what you're doing. We're not here because of labor. We're here because of love. People, at this church, and so many of us, we're letting our labor. Well, didn't you see all the work I did? Well, tell me about your devotional life. Hey, don't forget that Martha, she was cumbered about with much serving, but it was Mary that knew how to serve and sit at the feet of Jesus. What we need is communion. That's right. Busyness should never take adoration. You might be filled with busyness, but let me ask you, do you have some adoration? Set your affection on things above. God's touch should still make you tingle. God's touch should still make you cry. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me should still make you say, amen. We've lost it. We're leaving it. We get too spiritual. You know, love does get stronger. It does grow, but you better not leave the excitement. Love is exciting.
Let me give you another thought. They substituted programs for passion. Programs for passion. They were so busy, but where was the passion? Hey, they had things to do, but where was the passion? Oh, listen, no matter what we do in our church, no matter what programs we do, no matter what kind of Timothy Men's Fellowship we have going on, there better be a passion for this place. You ought to go out in town and tell people you don't go to Ponderosa Baptist Church, but I belong to Ponderosa Baptist Church. You ought to love this place with a passion that burns inside of you. Hey, listen, it's contagious. You talk about a light of influence. You talk about a godless society in Flagstaff. Sodomy all over this place. A godless society. Mormons that need to know that Jesus is the only way, and He is. Jesus said, look, you say whatever you want, John 14:6. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only way you get in. And their church looks so groomed. And their families look so nice. Hello. And they're so kind to you as a neighbor. You know what will help them get saved? Help them know the truth of Jesus Christ. Help them know that this is the only Bible. He didn't have to add anything. He didn't need a new revelation. It's always been this one. Genesis to Revelation, that's the book. You know what's going to help them? Somebody that has some passion about their church. Ooh, it's Sunday's coming up. Oh man, you ought to just start walking like this around town doing that. Wait, what's wrong with you? Sunday's getting here. Are you crazy? Yeah, well, Sunday's coming, God. Sunday's coming up. Oh my goodness gracious. Hey, you ought to have some passion. Don't you have programs for passion? It don't matter what we do, it's why we do it. You can give me a church that doesn't have any kind of programs, but if they're packing that place in and they got God in that place, everybody's going to want to go to that church. I mean, who cares about busyness if you're dead? Who cares about a bunch of movement? What we want is life, excitement, passion. I hope you don't have a problem telling people where you go to church. Amen. You know, look, if you get more excited about ball games than you do Sunday morning services, you don't have passion. You left your first love. This is your book this morning. This is God's message hammering to you this morning. Repent. If you can stay up all night and watch a movie, if you can go to some game and get excited, if you can go to some activity in Flagstaff when it's cold weather, snowing, and you sit and freeze like some bird somewhere and have a good time, and then you get in church and can't stand it, I'm telling you, your passion's out the window and you need to repent. You've left your love. Who cares? Look, know the doctrines. You better know them. They're important. But if doctrines don't stir your heart, you left the love. And God's going to remove the candlestick. I don't want to be a dead church. People need to know about Jesus. The New Agers need to know that there's something above and beyond, worse than the mountain. Amen. Natives need to know that the four sacred mountains aren't the answer. That the only medicine man ever is and ever will be is Jesus Christ, the real medicine man. He's the bomb in Gilead. Hey, they need to know. People need to know that Jesus is the way. They need to know. You need to let that light so shine. Hide it under a bushel, my big toe. I'm going to let it shine. And what we need is passion for Jesus again. This world is corruptive. This progressive movement in the churches. What we need is some excitement in the house of God. Someone that's got passion. You know what's more? Listen. Separation never substitutes surrender. Brother, I'm so separated. Yeah, but are you surrendered? There's a big difference. It's not the things I do that get me close to God. It's my heart's condition to Christ that get me close to God. And these churches that pride themselves on things that they don't do and things they do, what they need to do is wake up and realize it's a surrendered heart that's more important than a separated heart. Did you know there can be some people that don't know some things about the Bible and they're closer to God than you are that know about it?
You say, well, I don't think they understand the Scriptures. They must be out of the will of God. No, they might be in the will of God and you out of it. You can always step in light that you've been given.
Yeah, man, that's right. That's right, preacher. You can only step in the light you've been given, and not everybody knows everything you might know, but what they might have that you don't have is a surrendered heart
because they love Jesus. Can I help you out? You know why I do what I do? I love them. I just love Jesus. I'll do anything He wants me to do. You know why? Because I love Him. I'll go anywhere He wants me to go. You want to know why? Because I love Him. You know why Christians have a hard time doing those things? Because they left their love.
Honey, I'll get the dough for you. You my dream girl.
Well, it's about time we start dreaming about Jesus again. About time we go. Listen, there's so many of these Christians. They just stay right inside the line. They just do everything that they supposedly have to do. Well, God bless, help us, Lord. We've got to get to the place in our life where we go above and beyond. Why don't you have a passion? Why don't you see that there's love there? And love them like you ought to love them, like you first loved them.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know if I need to give this much, but I just think I'll do it.
I love them. There's a need. Preacher's talking about raising support to help that preacher over in Connecticut. Why not give it? I gave my 10%, but do I have to stop there?
Amen.
Love. You know how you get your love back? I had one time a guy asked me, he said, preacher, how do you get the love back? Well, thank God for the Bible, because it tells us exactly how. Three things and I'm done. Number one, remember. It gives it to us right here. Remember. Verse number 5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Remember the love you used to have. That's it. You remember that guy that got saved? And you know how it is. This might be your life. He got saved. And man, when he got saved, everybody knew it. He walked in the door shouting. He walked out the door shouting. He carried gospel tracts. He read his Bible. He went home and that crazy guy would turn off his TV and read his Bible. I heard a good thought this last week. I was over at the Browns' house having some breakfast. So listen, if you ever want to eat good, go to the Browns' house. They don't hold anything back. You think you're in a breakfast, a bed and breakfast for sure. And we were talking about identifying ourselves as Christians. And Sister Brown said, I heard a message one time about being on the examination if you're a Christian. And she said one of the questions was, as a prosecutor stepped by, said, let me ask you, how many Bibles do you have in your house? How many TVs do you have in your house? What's the main center of your living room? What's the main attraction in your house? I'm just trying to prove that you're not a Christian. I mean, listen, you can have the profession, you can talk the talk, but let's just prove what kind of love you got. Hey, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. What is the main attraction of your home? What is the main attraction of your family? What is it about your life that screams? What is it about your life? What is your passion? You better remember. Remember what it was when you first got saved. My stepfather, he was about 33 years old, going through a divorce. He was into drugs. It was New Year's Eve. And this soul-winning group knocked on his door, not to see him, but to see somebody else. He was staying at somebody else's house on New Year's Eve. He said they knocked on the door, and while they were witnessing to him, he stepped outside, and another guy that was a soul winner brought him into his car, and they sat down. And Joe Oswalt, my stepfather, says he began to witness to me about salvation. And I was going through a lot of mess. I was losing my wife. I had a pound of weed on me that night. I was into drugs. He said it was that night I bowed my head and asked Jesus to save me. I stepped out of the car and I got in my vehicle and I went to work. I worked on the trains in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I worked on the railroad. And I was driving to work that night. I had just got saved, but it had not processed what had happened. He said I was on my way to work. And I was driving, and as I was driving, I started to think about what just took place in that car. And all of a sudden, as I began to think about my salvation, the tears began to come down my eyes. I got out at the railroad, told everybody I got saved, went home, found my marijuana, and threw it in the commode. Let me tell you something. We got to remember what it was like when we got saved. I mean, everything looked brighter. Every song sounded sweeter. Everything seemed finally like it was going to be alright. Oh, we got to get back to where Jesus, I've got them on my mind. It's just good to be saved. Number one, remember. Number two, repent. You got to repent. The Bible says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Well, what does repent mean? Let me help you out. Number one, it deals with a change of mind of what's going on. Number two, it deals with a confession. Amen. Number three, it deals with forsaking. There you go. You remember what it used to be. You remember how you used to tingle. You remember how everything in your house honored God after you got saved. You read your Bible. You met God in prayer. You listened to godly music. You watched godly TV. You did everything you could do to be at the house of God. You remember the tingle, the crying, the excitement. And then you repent. God, I confess, I don't want to be like I am anymore. God, I'm tired of being cold and dead inside. I'm tired of having no more tears. I know doctrine, but I miss the tears. I want to cry again. I want to weep again. I want to have feelings again. I want to tingle again. I want the hairs to stand up on the back of my neck. I want to know the excitement of being saved. God, I'm confessing. I'm dead, and I want my love again. You got to change your mind and confess and forsake. And then number three, repeat. Remember, repent, repeat. Look what it says. It says, and repent and do the first words. And do it. Well, that's repentance. Once you confess, forsake, then you do. That's it. I'm going to be different. I'm going to tell people I belong to Ponderosa Baptist Church. I'm going to shake out and tell people, like, what's wrong with you? I'm getting ready for Sunday. Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. I'm going to be excited about the Bible again. And this is the main attraction of the home. Amen. This is what I'm going to make much of. I'm going to hold my Bible like I love it. I'm going to read my Bible like it's special. I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm not going to be scared to propagate the name. I'm not going to be quiet when someone asks me where I go to church or what do I believe. I'm not going to be quiet while everyone in this world is discussing the worldly philosophy. I'm going to stand up and say, Jesus is Lord. And I love Him. He just makes me tingle. He's my everything. He's worthy. Jesus is worthy. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. You got to do it. Remember, repent, repeat. If we want to influence this godly society, if we want the power, if we want a church that feels good, that is exciting, where God meets with us, we have got to have the first love. We gotta love them. We gotta love them. Programs, who cares? Listen, who cares about programs if there's no power? Somebody say amen. Who cares about programs if there's no passion? Who cares about a dead mechanical machinery? Listen, the devil will allow us, he will allow us to see somebody saved once every blue moon and be a mechanical, oiled, greased up church. He don't care if we cross every T and dot every I if we are powerless and have no influence. He don't care. I know a church that had 900 members join them. And not one of the members that joined was a conversion. Somebody say, oh me, help me out.
Let me say it again. 900 memberships. Not one was conversion. Not one of those that joined that church had joined it by getting under conviction, getting saved. It was all by letter. It was all by profession of faith already. Something's wrong in America. Our churches are so dead. We've got no conviction. We've got no power. We've got no light of Jesus. We're not impacting. Listen, just because you got a crowd, just because people are gathered, don't mean the light is there. They don't. And the devil will say, go ahead. Have your church. I'm ruining America while you have your church. Have a good time. All your programs. Have all your special events for your mothers and fathers. Do all you want. All your neat little clubs. I'm taking America to hell. Because there's no light. Flagstaff's got to have light. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Got to have these kind of messages. We got to have them. I mean, you come to church and go to dead church, but we got to have these churches. We got to have these messages. We got to have this light. Hide it under a bushel, no way. I'm going to let my light shine. Well, how do you let it shine? By believing in Jesus? Well, I mean, that's true, but no. You can lose the light of a church if you don't stay passionate. Passion is contagious. Love is contagious. It's exciting to go somewhere where people love the Bible. Where the preacher preaches and people get excited and souls get saved. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. We need it. There might be somebody here this morning, you're not even saved. 9 people got saved yesterday out on the reservation. There might be somebody here this morning. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? I'm asking you a question. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? This might be your last chance. God says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. And if you're a mocker of God, this might be the last opportunity you live. Last opportunity to hear the gospel message. If you died right now, where would you go to spend all eternity? Would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? No one's looking but me. If you're here this morning, say, preacher, I do not know for sure I'd go to heaven. I've got doubt in my mind. I don't have full assurance. I don't know for sure I'll go to heaven. I will not embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. You say, preacher, that's me. Would you pray for me? If that's you this morning, can I pray for you? No one's looking but me. Would you slip your hand up as I snap my finger? That's me, preacher. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Slip up right now. Let me pray for you. I'm looking. I do not know for sure I'm going to heaven. Preacher, pray for me. No one's looking but me. Let me pray for you. Those that are in here that are saved by the good grace of Jesus, are you tingling? Or do you just know truth? Are you excited? Or do you just know doctrine? Are you in love? Or are you just laboring? Are you passionate? Or are you just full of programs? Have you left your first love? Separation never should substitute plain out surrender. I'm going to pray when I say amen. If the Holy Ghost of our sweet blessed God has worked in your heart, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat. Come down to the altar and say, dear God, I repent. And I will repeat. I confess I need the first love. I want to tingle again. I want to be passionate again. I want to say hallelujah again. I want the joy of God in my heart again. I want the glory of God in my veins. Father in heaven, I pray you'd have the victory in Jesus, in Christ's precious blessed name. Amen. Let's all stand up. Piano's playing.